Tonight we continue our Advent sermon series based on this verse from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The four titles given in this passage are given to the child who is born for us and the son who is given for us. This child is the one that Isaiah said will be born of the Virgin Mary and whom people will call Emmanuel, which means God with us. In our first Advent sermon, we focused on the first title from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, Wonderful Counselor. We learned that Jesus' counsel is wonderful because Jesus is God himself teaching us. Jesus' counsel about our sin and his death on the cross for our salvation is foolishness to those who refuse to believe. But to us who have been saved, the Holy Spirit has given us faith to rejoice in Jesus' counsel as the power of God for our salvation. In our second Advent sermon, we focused on the title, Mighty God. We learned that Jesus is no mere human. If Jesus was just another human just like us, then he could not have been our Savior, and we are still under the curse for our sins. However, the truth is that Jesus is Mighty God, the Lord in human flesh who died on the cross in our place and then conquered death so that we could rise again. Tonight, we focus on the third title found in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, Everlasting Father. So tonight, let's begin with the second word in that title, the word Father. Now, at first, it seems odd that Jesus would be called Father at all. You see, Scripture teaches us that there's only one God, but he exists in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. This is the mystery that we call the Trinity. So even though Jesus is one with the Father, as we learned from our gospel reading, the fact is that Jesus is not the Father himself. Instead, Jesus and the Father are two distinct persons who are united in one God along with the Holy Spirit. With all that being said, then, what does Isaiah mean when he says that Jesus will be called Everlasting Father? Werner Hermann Franzmann, in his Bible history commentary, is a big help. He writes, Father does not mean to say that the child, the son, is the same person as God the Father. It does not run the divine persons together. Rather, it designates the mind of the Messiah, a being like that of a father. Naturally, he acts accordingly. Several passages prove illuminating here. You, O Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer from of old is your name. Isaiah 63:16. Also, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Psalm 103:13. The word Father then means that Jesus has made us his people and rules over us like a loving father. For example, people sometimes refer to George Washington as the father of our nation. They mean that he helped found these United States and he ruled over us as our first president. In a similar way, in Isaiah 9:6, the word Father is describing the fact that Jesus rules over us and upholds all creation. As it says when Isaiah wrote that the government will be upon his shoulder. We also heard Paul talk about this in our second reading from Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, Paul writes this about God's Son. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Simply put, the one who was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary is the creator of all things, and he rules over all things. Now, this is fantastic news for us who believe in Jesus as our Savior from sin, death, and eternal damnation. The title Father reminds us that Jesus made us to be new creations by saving us from our sins and bringing us back to God the Father. Now, the title Father also teaches us that Jesus rules over all things, even when it appears that evil people have all the power in this world. Think about that for a minute. When we watch the news or read the paper or listen to the radio or surf the internet, it seems like Jesus is not in control at all. It seems like the evil rulers and those who support them cause so much misery in the world, and they get away with it. But during such times, we must remember that Jesus is in control, even when circumstances seem to call that into question. Jesus has always been in control, even when he was that little infant in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Therefore, we can't be discouraged by all the misery, the death, the injustice, the chaos that we see in this world. The fact is, Jesus rules us like a loving father. But just like children don't always understand what the father does, we don't always understand why Jesus rules the way he does. Nevertheless, Jesus promises to work out all things, even trial and suffering, to bring about good for his people and glory for his kingdom. Nothing happens apart from Jesus' will. And he will save all who will repent of their sin and trust in him. Jesus is your Savior, King, and he rules you like a loving father. Now, at this point, I want to focus on the first word of tonight's title, the word everlasting. Isaiah says that Jesus is the everlasting Father. That word everlasting reminds us that Jesus is not just like one more earthly ruler whose reign begins at some point in history and then ends at some point in history. For example, listen to these words from the prophet Micah. In Micah chapter 5, it says, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days." Simply put, what Micah is saying here is that the future Savior who will be born in Bethlehem already exists. The Savior exists before he was born. You might be wondering, how can this be? Well, the answer is that Jesus is the eternal Son of God, the very ancient of days. In other words, Jesus is not like the rulers of any earthly governments who reign, have a beginning, and then come to an end. Instead, Jesus is the eternal Creator. He is the everlasting Father. His rule will never end. As we heard in our reading from Isaiah, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. This means that there was never a time that Jesus was not in control, even when Jesus was lying in the manger, even when Jesus was hanging on the cross. He was still the everlasting Father. No wonder the thief on the cross said the following to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Luke 23:42. Jesus was born to save us from our sins, Through faith in him, we are cleansed from our guilt and we are at peace with God. However, we still live in a world where many people care nothing for the ways of God. Therefore, sin and evil abound. Evil leaders and those who follow them can cause so much misery in this world. But Jesus still is the everlasting Father. Jesus still rules his kingdom. We who live by faith believe this fact, even though it can be hard to see the evidence of Jesus' reign today. But one day, Jesus will return in visible power and invisible glory. Every eye will see that Jesus is the everlasting Father, even the evil unbelievers who thought they were in control. On that day, we believers will rejoice in the fact that we get to live forever as citizens in Jesus' kingdom, where there will be no more sin, pain, or death. Until that last day, we live by faith, faith in God's word. Jesus' reign today as everlasting Father is hidden from those who refuse to believe God's word. But for those of us who do believe God's word, we can be sure that Jesus is the everlasting Father. Just as the thief on the cross was sure that Jesus would save him, even though Jesus was hanging on the cross right next to him. Almost 2,000 years ago, Magi from the East traveled many miles to worship the everlasting Father, who was being held in the arms of a young virgin named Mary. How could an infant be the everlasting Father, the eternal Creator, the ruler of all things? Well, nothing is impossible for God. Therefore, like the Magi, we believe what we cannot see. We believe what we don't understand. Much like whenever we come to the Lord's Supper, the everlasting Father gives us his own body, his own blood, to assure us that our sins are forgiven and that he dwells within us. Tonight, God's word has assured us that Jesus is the everlasting Father, and that we are citizens of his eternal kingdom of mercy, of love, and of life. We can leave this place. We can serve the Lord with our lives, knowing that Jesus is the everlasting Father, and that we are secure in his hands, no matter what. Amen.